Hello, everyone. My name is Garrett.
And this is Jabin.
And welcome back to Cross Country Comments. It has been a minute. I've said that a number of times.
And it is partially my fault.
It is a duo fault, my friend.
Just a quick update. I guess I'll just say on my side. Me and my fiance are fully moved, so thank goodness we're in our place, comfortable, quiet. It's nice. It's a good space.
With a double Spider-Man picture on the wall.
I have a whole bunch of stuff on a whole bunch of walls right now. Don't worry, when Garrett comes down, he'll record everything. He might give you guys a tour.
We actually haven't told everyone about that yet.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sorry. I have a lot of stuff up right now, but I feel comfortable. It's nice. I'm still in LA, so it's still pretty cool. So, but yeah, finally moved. Now feel more comfortable about doing the podcast. So that's the update with me. But this fool, he's been way more busy than I have been. So what's your excuse?
Yeah. When the holidays were rolling around, we were still doing episodes, but I was working pretty much full time. And that is obviously not like too incredibly hard, but I was getting used to it. Thing is, our last episode was posted on December 31st. I started my new school semester January, I want to say 11th. So just a little bit after the last episode was posted, and I was in an accelerated school. Meaning that we did quarters, so they fit a semester's worth of work into 8 weeks.
And so literally, he had to be this.
Yeah, and if for anyone just listening, he's holding up a flash ring right now. Yes. It was 8 weeks, and one of my professors in classes was awesome, and he was hilarious, and I got an 88 in the class to finish.
Woohoo!
The other class, long story short, worst professor I've ever had, and I kind of led a revolt in class. I'm not going any more into detail into that. I'm leaving it there. Anyways.
Let's just say he became the one thing that he didn't want to become before.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I... we're not going to talk about that class. Anyways, very unfair teacher and made my life much harder.
And your classmates.
And my classmates, yeah. They were... Some of them were good, some of them were not. Anyways, it was different because I was learning to balance school and work all at the same time because I have not done that for over 3 years because I couldn't afford school up until recently. So it was just a new thing. So with Jabin moving and going through that situation and then with me dealing with the school thing and the work thing and balancing all that out, there was just a lot going on. So neither of us could really find a time to be like, hey, let's sit down and record for an hour. So we were just like, you know what? I know we say this a lot, but life comes first, and it does. But at this point, there is nothing in the foreseeable future that will stop us from like having another month long or more hiatus.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's not a planned thing where we want to take a sabbatical. Like again, I want to stress, like, this is a passion project for Garrett and I. We love doing this. We want to do this. We love to make time for doing this. We're putting down money for this. You know what I mean? That's when you know it's a real passion project, is when you're spending something and you're not getting, you know, revenue out of it. Mm-hmm. So for us, this is, it's just purely for our enjoyment. And yeah, and it's been a way for us to connect with different people too, which is also rewarding. So there's no reason for us to stop doing this unless we feel like it's putting a strain on our lives, which it isn't. Is just, you know, it's not as important as a lot of aspects of our life is. This is purely for our recreation. If this was our work, then it'd be completely different. but since it's recreation. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if y'all want to listen enough to pay us to do this, I wouldn't complain.
No, and we will come out a little more frequently.
Three episodes. If we got paid for this, we do 2 or 3 episodes a week.
Definitely. 3 easy. Mm-hmm. But no, since this is just recreation, we're putting it where it has to be in our lives, which I shouldn't say this word, but I kind of pride ourselves for. We're trying to balance each other's lives and what's going on with us right now. So I do want to say that I am proud that we're able to take that step forward, both of us in our own separate lives, but still able to still find time to continue our passion project. So just want to let you guys know that's kind of where we put this. We love doing this 100%. But, you know, and we, like you said, we don't plan to take really long breaks. We don't want to take breaks because there's so much that's happening and so much we want to talk about. But yeah, if life comes up, life comes up. But just know that we're always coming back in a short amount of time. It's not going to be like that last 6 month thing that happened in the beginning. So it will never be that bad. I can definitely say that as a promise. It'll never be that bad ever again. But if we need to take a little break, just know that, just like you said, life's come first. But we want to do this. We're not going to plan putting anything in front of this. We're going to do this.
Yes. And I will say, from now on, if we do have to take some kind of time off or some episodes for an extended period of time where we're not posting, we will start posting it on the socials of medias, on the Instagram and everything like that. We will let you guys know what's going on, instead of just kind of leaving you high and dry like we have been. And that's mostly on me because I run the Instagram. Yeah. So for future reference, we will let you know we're not planning on doing this again. But that's kind of where our stance is on it. Anyway, now that we kind of got the, I almost said excuses.
No excuses.
Now that we got the excuses / reasoning out of the way, we got 2 things to talk about. And it's funny because normally with whatever we talk about, it's normally like we both have a decent amount of knowledge, maybe one a little more than the other, and then we go from there. This one is like, I have a ton of knowledge about this one thing. Jabin knows a bit. And I'm going to nerd out about it. Also, we're both wearing our Green Lantern rings.
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk a bunch about it and let him know my thoughts and what I'm excited for and go from there. And then he has something that apparently... I never watched as a kid. We're not going to go into that yet. But I never watched as a kid. And there's something happening with it that apparently is very, very... what's controversial. The word? Controversial. Yes, thank you. It's very controversial, and Jabin wants to talk about it and let me know what's going on so that I can give my 2 cents on whatever it is. So yes. That was a big burp. Excuse me. We're gonna jump right into it. Yeah. Nah, I let it rip, man. I don't care if we're recording or not. We'll just jump right into it. So the very first thing that I wanted to mention is something that just came out 3 days ago. I think it came out 2 or 3 days ago and, as of recording this. And that is the Fallout TV show trailer.
Yeah.
Now, I may have mentioned this once on the podcast, but my favorite game of all time is Fallout 3. Not because it's a perfect game by any means, but it was the first game to introduce me to open world games, which is now my favorite type of game. So it's not like I put thousands of hours into it and I just, oh my gosh, it's like the best made game. It was just like the newest experience I had ever had with a video game when I was like 14 or 15. And so it blew my mind and opened kind of my eyes up to what video games could be. And so that's why I loved it so much. So I heard they were coming out with a TV show and I got really, really, really scared. Mm-hmm. I got really scared because there have been multiple attempts at video game TV shows, video game movies, everything. And that recently they've gotten a little bit better. Take Sonic, for example. Those movies are really good. Take Uncharted. I liked the Uncharted movie. So, like, they've been coming out with pretty good ones. Not incredible ones. But, like, or the Super Mario movie, that was good. So just, like, good movies. But when it comes to, like, video game-based TV shows, I got really worried because I was like, okay, you can condense a story into, like, 2 hours and put, like, little references to everything in there. But the TV show, that either increases the chances of making it better because you can focus on different quest lines, quote-unquote, or it's going to make it a lot worse because it's going to let them drag out something that they shouldn't have been spending a lot of time on. So I was very worried when I heard that. Isn't Apple who's making Fallout show?
So this is why I'm actually excited about it. Prime Video's making it.
Prime, that's right. So that's another reason. Gosh, that just brought it to mind. That's another reason I was a little worried, because The Rings of Power was made by Prime. Lord of the Rings show. I had such high hopes for that show. I haven't even finished it yet.
Horrid. I gotta be honest, I couldn't make it through the first episode.
I watched the first three.
Yeah, I couldn't make it through the first.
So I was like, oh, they're gonna do it to my favorite franchise. And I was really worried. And then they released the trailer 3 days ago. When I tell you I was in my truck in a drive-thru waiting for food on the way home from school, and I pulled that thing up and was just like, oh my gosh. Because I was telling Jabin before this, it has like, it feels like Fallout, because the music playing in the background, first of all, music is giant Fallout. Yeah. Secondly, it gave the very, just like the parts they showed, it looks like the main character goes from, like, Vault Dweller, who knows nothing about the outside world, to the end of the trailer, her shirt is all bloodied, and she's carrying this giant rifle, and it's like, that's Fallout. That is 100% Fallout. And then, like, the scenes with the power armor helmets, and they were, like, unclicking and lifting up like an Iron Man helmet almost. And just the look of the wasteland and everything. I think it's supposed to take place in L.A., if I'm not mistaken.
I wasn't sure.
I'm pretty sure it's L.A. I'll have to double check. I may be wrong. I don't know. But it has just this incredible feel to it. Because Fallout 3 is my favorite game of all time. Fallout New Vegas is incredible. Played a lot of hours of that one. Fallout 4, I'm actually replaying right now with mods. Love that game. Not my favorite, but it's good. It's really good. Fallout 76 got good after it was awful. So I have just had a good experience pretty much overall with the entire Fallout franchise. And if they can do the stories like they did in the games, they'll be fine. Because in the games, take the Fallout 3, for example. You grew up in the vault. One day your dad escapes the vault and you have to go find him, and you go through all these different quests, meet these weird people. Three Dog is the best DJ in all Fallout. I'm just saying that now. But you go through all these quests. There's a crazy quest where you like go into this virtual reality device and you're a little kid murderer. If you've played the game, you know what I'm talking about. But incredible quests. Loved it. Fallout New Vegas. Benny and having to be a courier who barely survived and have to chase him down. Great. Fallout 4, not as good of a storyline, but still pretty good with the Institute. So, like, they have a track record of having really good stories. So if they can relate that to a TV show, oh, bouncing baby boy, I'm excited. That sounded weird. That's just the first thing that came out of my mouth. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just very excited for this series and the potential that it has. So,
right.
Your thoughts, my friend.
Coming from a person that doesn't know as much as you do about Fallout, the only Fallout games I played were 76 and 4. There were really fun gameplay mechanics. Were really fun, especially Fallout 4. Honestly, I enjoyed Fallout 4 more than 76. The gameplay mechanics were really great for 4. But I liked the way the trailer. It felt like the games. It had that gritty look and that weird like color palette that the game has. So I'm glad that they're looking. They even have the same outfit like that. Even like made me excited. That little blue outfit. I was like, okay, I'm with it. Just a couple things that I'm very skeptical about is because it feels like each streaming company is trying to take hold of a video game IP, because so far it's been HBO with The Last of Us, which they, I think I can say 100%ed. Then we have Paramount, who has Halo, which they really just wiped their butt with it and threw it in people's face.
It's, I hope season really two bad. Will be better, though.
I heard that it started off better, but the fact that it still has a season one stank on it, like you can't take away the first season of that Halo if you're gonna watch the next one, which sucks. So they already messed up with Halo, and Halo has great stories in the video games too. So there's no excuse for that. They were just focused on the gross and unnecessary fundamentals that we don't even see in the video games that they didn't need to. So then we have that. And then now we have Prime jumping in the mix and be like, okay, we got Fallout. So like you said, a lot of the video game stuff that's been coming out has been either decent or really good. There's only been one, and that's the only one I can think of is Halo, that has been really bad. That's actually got into that mode of being really bad. So, but I am excited for Prime Video. I was mad about Rings of Power, but the good things about Rings of Power that they did have were the special effects and the directing were freaking amazing. The story was horrid. We can't take that off, so that's why it's really bad. But if we're just not looking at that show, though, they did The Boys. Shouldn't be watching it, but they did The Boys. The Boys... critically acclaimed, amazing, intense, crazy show. Even their spinoff show Gen V, just as crazy, and got it to where you're not away from the Boys universe, and still made it, you know, together and everything like that. So I know they're able to, and Invincible. I know that doesn't count because it's animated, but
it's still so good.
It's still really good in terms of his story, whatever. It's still adapting from a comic book. So Prime does have a lot of ups. And then I heard Reacher was fantastic. So Prime has a great track record of coming out with really great content. It's just when they had one IP, I don't know who the writers were, but I hope that they're not going to be on this video game. But it was really on the writers. I don't have skepticism when it comes to just the overall quality look of it, and especially in the trailer, it looks freaking amazing. So I don't have anything. I'm just really scared of who the writers are going to be, because we even have a really good director. We even have the producers that did The Boys. So like we have the people that look at the comic books and like takes out what they want to take out, right? And then make little changes to make it a little more fun for TV. So I hope they're going to do the same thing with Fallout. Especially for a person that doesn't know as much, this is going to be an opportunity for me to get into that world without buying all those games. Or, you know, this might be my time to go crazy over it. You know what I mean? So because this will be my main source of Fallout. So it is pressure not only for the people that love the video games like you, but it's also pressure for the people that don't know a lot that's going to be able to learn through this. So
I will say there's three monsters that I'm hoping they put into it that will make it a partial horror show, depending on how they implement them.
Honestly, that's what I'm expecting is for it to be like a thriller horror thing, because that's how I felt when I was going through when I was going through the games, and when I watched some of the gameplay, it looked scary as crap.
Well, I mean, so the three monsters I hope they implement well are the Death Claws. If they can implement a Death Claw well, that will be terrifying. Yaoguais, which are basically like bears on steroids. And then feral ghouls, because if they can imitate the movement and the sounds that the feral ghouls had in Fallout 76 and Fallout 4, those jokers would just look at you and like lead their head and then swing at you.
Oh, I remember them. Yeah. Oh, no.
Uh-huh. So if they can implement those three monsters well in live action, that will already put it high in my category of shows, because those three are like three of the staple monsters that have always been in the Fallout universe. That's just, as I was thinking about it, it's like, yes, the Brotherhood of Steel should be represented correctly, and the Enclave, depending on how they're using that in the storyline, but the monsters are the heart of Fallout. And if they can do it right, I'm just so excited.
I'm mostly excited just because of their track record. So I do feel like this will be a fine show. It just depends on the writers, because it looks fantastic. It's just the writing's got to be on point. That's all I'm skeptical about. But other than that, it looked fantastic. All the characters looked great. Even the dude with no nose looked awesome. Like he That's looked good. That's why I don't know. I don't know if the people's names or whatnot. But even the guys in the big metal suits were really great. That looked straight off of Fallout. That was 4, wasn't it?
Well, they're in all of them. That's a Brotherhood.
They're in all of them, but the look of it reminded me of that Fallout poster that they did for Fallout 4. No, 76, I think. Mm-hmm. For that, and I go, okay, that looked tight. So it looked like their world building looked good. So I just really want them to really, since it's a show, I want them to use that to their full ability and just focus on mostly, honestly, for the people that don't know, the world building, because we will not know crap about anything unless they world build correctly. And don't rush it. Like if there's a certain quest that they're doing, you can world build in each episode so that we get more familiar with the world and more familiar with what they need to do. So
yeah.
We'll just have to see.
The one last thing I wanted to say about this, and I didn't know if you caught this or not. The very first episode of it airs, we'll talk about this at the end in depth, but it airs April 11th.
Yep.
You get what I mean, right?
I do. And that's what we're going to be watching.
Yes. And we'll talk about what we mean at the end of this video.
Oh my goodness. What if we did an initial review?
Like right after it airs?
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to edit it very much because I won't have my equipment.
No. We just record it, and then you can edit it when we get back.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's not going to be that long of a time frame, so you can...
True. We'll talk about that more later, though. All right. So very excited about that. So next topic we're moving on to is one that is very controversial, according to Jabin, and I am intrigued.
Yeah, so now we're going into the excitement of fandom, into the I'm not so sure into fandom. And they're touching on one of the greatest, arguably the greatest, Marvel team-up of all friggin' time. X-Men, but not just any X-Men. We're talking about the old school 90s TV show X-Men, the show that my dad grew up when he was a preteen to teen. Grew up on this show. Now, there have been, before I go into this, when it comes to this podcast, we talked about a lot what we wanted to do behind closed doors, like and really like staple how we view our words politically and with our stances and whatnot, and even our guests on the show, you know, they came in with theirs, and we kind of, you know, we kind of showed ourselves a little bit more since they were comfortable, so we're like, okay, cool. But we never really went into the staple, unless there was a show or a movie that really pushed it.
We did a little bit when Annie came on.
Yeah, Annie, but then when we were also talking about The Last of Us, we kind of went in a little more too. So, but this one, we might have to get into that a little more this time. But just letting you know out there, this is what we think. This is our way of life. This is kind of how we perceive the world. This is not, I just want to put this out there. There is no hate speech. There's no disrespecting anybody. It's just how we view things and how we feel like, you know, things should be going accordingly for the greatest for everybody. So I think that's probably the cleanest way I can say it.
I would say so.
But okay. Now going in, that was a disclaimer. they are really changing the show. Just to get an aspect of it. The showrunner is a gay black man, and he said that in an interview, this is what kind of got me a little mad. In the interview, I heard nothing about the X-Men, but I heard everything about social justice. Now, keep that in mind.
Okay.
One of the big things that they did the show right now that is a controversy, has been a controversy for 3 weeks now. Morph, you know him as a villain in the comic books. He can morph into anybody or whatever.
Is it Metamorpho?
No, Morph. Metamorpho no, that, is the,
that's DC.
Is dude in red. Yeah, that's DC. You probably don't know this mutant. He's not really known. But in the comic books, he's a villain. But in the show, he's a good guy. He's actually supposed to be like homies with Wolverine. So they're homies. He dies in the first episode. But he's a dude.
Wolverine?
And his Yeah, like him and Wolverine are buddies in the show.
No, I thought you said Wolverine dies in the first episode. I was like,
No. But Morph did. Morph. But oh. But then he comes back and stuff like that. Okay. But he has a male default form, so he's all gray. And he kind of has like this. You can tell like he's blank, but he's a dude. Like he even like perceives himself as a dude in the show, right? You see where I'm going with this?
I do, and I'm a little worried.
Morph is now non-binary since he can shapeshift into any person he wants, man or woman or whatever. He is now being perceived as they them, and yeah, those are his pronouns in the show. Mind you, in the show before 97, in the original show, he was perceived as he, him, even in the comic books. He was just a he. He had a default male form. He still has a default male form, but now they're giving him a little more femininity into his stance once you watch the trailer. So yeah, and you can tell they slimmed him down way more to make it seem like he's not all the way male. So now they kind of warped him. And for some reason, this X-Men account that's verified not only released it, but then put in there, and also we get to see a buddy relationship between them and Wolverine.
They put in quotations, buddy?
No. They didn't put in quotations. I'm just highlighting that fact that they put that in the releasing that Morph is now a they-them character. And now what people are afraid of when it comes to changing the TV show is that now in the newer comic books that I was reading and that I personally wanted to stop reading because they just weren't having good stories anymore. In recent comic book X-Men, Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Wolverine are in a polyamorous relationship to solve the love triangle arc that we've always been getting. But they made, at one point, they made Cyclops and Wolverine both bisexual to, like, solve it all. So now people are afraid of two things. One, that Wolverine is going to be bisexual for that reason, and also try the polyamorous relationship, even though in the show right now, Jean and Cyclops are about to have a baby. She's pregnant. And second, they might make Wolverine bisexual for, I don't know how, I forgot, the pansexual, I think, what was the term, for Morph. That's a rumor, but the fact that the X-Men Verified account put that out there, they wanted to put that out there, Morph, have this, and see their buddy relationship, it's kind of like, okay. But again, I want to remind you, in that interview with the showrunner, he didn't talk about anything about the X-Men and their stories or what to expect. All he talked about was social justice and his experience as a gay black man and putting that into the show. And here's why I have a problem with it. And I'm going to be very, very, very careful with my words. Social justice and civil rights and all this stuff for certain communities and minority groups. So basically, that's just a nice way of saying LGBTQ or black people or basically anyone who's not white rights. anyone who's not white rights did not influence the X-Men, even though they have all their similarities. That did not influence the X-Men. And before, you know, if people watch this episode and we get hate, there is proof of this fact. And I just want to put this out there. There are a few interviews, one main one with Stan Lee before he died. He explained how he created the X-Men. And I want everyone to listen to this so that they know what the X-Men were supposed to be. He just said, because this was in the 60s, so black people wanting their rights was big right now. Like, everything was happening. We got Malcolm. We got MLK about to come up. Black people were oppressed. This was the time. Stan Lee, in his mind, just said, I had some freaky characters that I had, and I wanted to put them in a crazy situation and put them in a hard situation. So then he was like, what if they were mutated, and what if everyone hated him for that? And he was like, that's perfect. So then he was, but the thing is that he said that for it to, when he released it, and then he started getting like letters from people saying, thank you, this helped me, or wow, you're really representing civil rights at this time, because it was about black people, like civil rights or whatever. He said that he did that accidentally. That wasn't his intent. He subconsciously released that, and it was a big phenomenon because people were applying that to what America was at that time. Because it was almost the same. I'm not saying that it wasn't the same. It was almost the same. But his intentions weren't towards that. It was towards these characters having a good story. That's what he says. He wasn't focused on a message, even though there is a message in there. Like, you can't deny it. There is a message. Don't treat people like crap, you know, yeah, who are different. That's a great message that you can take away from it. That's actually why we look at entertainment to, you know, take away good messages like that. But his intent was putting his freaky characters, his stupid characters, he called them, these stupid characters in a crazy situation. That's all it was, so that he can make a good story out of it. And this is why I'm really mad at this showrunner. It seems like he's not focused on the story. He's focused on the representation that people can take away from the characters without the story. I want, as a consumer, and you too, we want good entertainment. We want a good story that appeals to us so that we're hooked on it to where we can't get away from it. That's why we watch what we watch and we play what we play. We're hooked on it. Good story, we're in. You know what I mean? The fact that he talked nothing about the show except for representation the whole time made me, as a fan of this show, angry. Because there's nothing from the story that I get except from the trailer, and the trailer didn't even get me that much. All it got me was Jean and Cyclops are having a baby now. Cyclops is now the leader of the X-Men, which we already knew, because, I'm sorry, spoiler alert, Professor X dies. And Magneto all of a sudden owns everything from Professor Xavier because of legal reasons. That's it. Which is supposed to be, there's supposed to be way more story than that because of how they ended it at the end of that season. So, what are your thoughts about it?
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Strap in, children. This is gonna be fun.
So, I gave you the facts, I gave you fan speculation, and then I gave you my take on what I think everything is. Now, your turn. You have your facts and you have that speculation. Now, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, before anyone, and I don't even know if this would happen, but these days I don't doubt it. Before anyone goes, yeah, you're a straight white man, you wouldn't be able to say that. I don't give a crap, okay? Honestly, I'm a nerd. I enjoy comics. I enjoy TV shows. I enjoy good stories, like Javen was saying. And I'll make a comparison before I really get into it here. A lot of people, when She-Hulk and Captain Marvel and all that were coming out and people didn't like the movie, they were like, you're just all misogynist. No, there were multiple stories with really good female characters. Take Shuri and Black Panther as an example. Take Black Widow. Take, even Kamala Khan was good. Take, trying to think, it's Valkyrie. Great female characters.
And gay. And she was even great. And people didn't like her in Love and Thunder. I loved her in Thor Love and Thunder, if I'm being honest.
Here's the thing. I didn't even focus on that. I'm talking about the way their characters were written. So that's what we like to see. Good stories and well-written characters. We didn't not like Captain Marvel and She-Hulk because they're girls, like they're women. We don't like women superheroes. I don't care. Give me a good, well-written story that has an impact, and then we can talk about how good of a movie it was. If you throw a bunch of representation and a bunch of preaching and a bunch of, oh, well, here's what you have to believe because here's what the superheroes are doing. No. That's not what we don't go to superhero movies and shows to get preached at. We go to watch a good story, escape reality as much as, you know, is healthy, but escape reality because the preaching is what happens in reality these days. We go to these things to escape that. And here's the thing. It's not like, oh, you know, the X-Men, like Javen was saying, oh, they're meant to represent that kind of stuff. He already gave you Stan Lee's thoughts on, hey, that was kind of an accident. I mean, yeah, it correlates well with that time. Absolutely let it represent that time because that was mistreating of humans. Now it's shoving an agenda down our throats with our favorite characters. And here's the thing. If you want to make a show without those kind of characters in it, fine. Okay, make your show. I don't care. Don't put it in shows and characters that are already established.
And that's why I'm really mad, because they already have so many seasons of character building already, and they already established their relationships with each other and as a team, and already went through so much, and it didn't have anything anything to do when it came to identity as a gender or as whatever color they were. Or not, honestly, not even as a mutant. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to what powers they have, unless they kept saying they were a freak and try to find a way to live in a world that was hard for them to live through. Bishop, in the show, Bishop, he's pretty bad. You should watch it.
I saw him in Days of Futures Past. I know a little bit about Bishop.
Okay, great. That's obviously all I wanted you to know. It was Days of Futures Past because the way they do it is perfect. Bishop is bad. Storm, bad. But they didn't preach to us that they were bad A black characters. They were just bad.
Technically, he was blue, but I would also count Nightcrawler in there.
Yes. Again, and Nightcrawler. And if we take it step further, Colossus, he's a Russian dude. It's stereotypically Russian, honestly. But he was bad. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks that they're so heavily... And it got to a point to where we're in this day and age, everything is so much about... I'm putting this in quotes, and if for the people that can't hear me, I'm doing my fingers in quotes. Everyone is so focused on representation to where it's ruining the quality of entertainment. For example, the original voice actor that was Jubilee in the show didn't want to do the show. Want to know why?
Because of what they're doing?
No.
Why?
Because she said she's not Asian, so she feels like she can't represent Jubilee. When I heard that, I was dying laughing of hurt and his being hysterical, because I automatically go to this one voice actor that should be canceled if everyone is so worried about representation. Can I tell you this character?
Are you talking about the guy that does all the Family Guy voices?
No, not Seth MacFarlane.
Oh.
But that's a good example. But I'm talking about another one. I'm just a strictly TV show that's harmless. But if we're talking about representation, that he should be canceled for it, and that I love him for. Samurai Jack. Samurai Jack is this Chinese... I'm letting everyone know. I know you know. Samurai Jack is this Chinese character that goes through the whole world, trains from every single, you know, every single country in order to fight this demon called Aku. It's freaking awesome. And his voice, he barely talks, but when he does, it's so, like, stereotypical, like, wise Asian, but still, like, able to come across with, like, a perfect, you know, like, whoa, that sounds great sentence. The blackest of blackest dudes is the voice actor for Samurai Jack. Doing us a voice like this and making sure that it sounds the way Samurai Jack was sound this way. A black dude doing that. So if we're going to go that far, then everyone should be pickpocketing that if we're talking about representation. But that's my point, though, is that Jubilee was fine the way she was. We weren't focused on the fact that she was Asian. We were focused on the fact that this little girl is getting hunted by sentinels. Like, that's crazy.
Here's... but I'm sorry. You're wrong, because it's only if white people do other representation, right?
Yeah.
And this... it's like there's such a double standard when it comes to stuff like this. Because if... Like he said... Samurai Jack is a black guy doing a Chinese voice, or I think Chinese.
Chinese. Yeah.
So no one talks about that. But if you have people doing, white people doing voices for other characters that are either sometimes not their gender, because sometimes dudes can do really funny female voices.
So and vice versa.
And vice versa.
A lot of female characters were old school cartoons. Mm-hmm. Let me just put that out there.
Yeah. So a lot of those, vice versa. And when white people do other voices for either black characters or Chinese characters or Japanese characters, whatever it might be, it's like when it's white people doing that kind of stuff, that's when it's like, oh, you can't represent them well. That's not the way it works. Do you really think that a majority of Asians out there are looking at the voice actor for Jubilee going, no, because that doesn't represent us? No, they're not. There may be a few here and there. I'm not speaking for everyone, but for the majority of people, no one cared.
And what's so funny is that Jubilee doesn't even have an accent. She's just supposed to represent, because this is in the 90s. All she was supposed to do was just be a representation of a 90s teenager going to the arcade, having fun. American, put that out there, an American 90s teenager. That's all Jubilee was. And this teenager is getting hunted down by these big old robots, and she has no idea why, which makes it so scary. Her image as a character for us to take away from wasn't that she's, oh, wait, and on top of that, she's Asian. She just so happens to be. This is the problem that people can't wrap their mind around. The way these characters are represented and what their color is, what their gender is, what their orientation is, whether it be sexually or genetically. These are things that just so happen. If they push the story, then great. But that's only because when they push a story, the way they're shown is that just so happens to be that creatively based off of the character that was created, the creator created them for. Yeah. Did that make sense?
It did.
Creator, whoever it was, created them that way. So if you're taking something from another character that already has its crap going along and you want to take it, leave it that way. But if you want to do your own thing, do your own thing with how you want your own character to be represented as, and no one's going to hate you for it, or no one's going to complain, I should say. But if you take away something that's already been established, then you're going to take a whole bunch of people that you might feel are bigots, but really are just people that fell in love with this character the way that they are because of how they're already represented. That's how they look at them through their life. Like, you can't be mad at them for not wanting to change a thing about a character that has been that way for so long.
And here's the thing. Like Jabin reiterated at the beginning, none of this is like hate speech. We don't hate anyone. We don't hate any decision. We don't hate people, regardless of what they think and what they do. I mean, we try and be positive. We try and be very, you know, everyone's welcome. Absolutely.
Definitely.
We don't care. Like, that's awesome. Thing is, when we, like he said, when we have our own media and stuff like that for characters that we have fallen in love with, take, for example, Captain America, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Star-Lord, you know, take your pick. We've fallen in love with all these certain characters when we were kids and growing up and all this different stuff. And take the X-Men, for example. I actually have an example. Iceman. Because as a kid, I loved Iceman because ice powers and speed powers are my two favorite powers for characters to use. So growing up, I would like find Iceman comics and be like, this is freaking dope. That dude's an Omega level mutant. My gosh. And he was awesome. And then I think it was 2017, 2018, I want to say.
They
came out and they were like, oh, by the way, Bobby's gay. Mm-hmm. When in all of the X-Men movies, it was him and Kitty Pryde, or it was him and Rogue and all this different stuff. And it's like, I loved the character in that, like, with that context and the way the character was built and the way he handled the relationships. And then it's like, you just throw that in there. Why? It's, if you want to make an original character who does their own thing, still won't love it if it's in my media and stuff like that, I still won't agree with it. But if it's a separate character, okay, you made your own character, you made your own mutant, right. Fine.
Right.
When you take characters that we love already and then manipulate them to fit a narrative, that is it doesn't benefit the story at all. It doesn't benefit the nature of the X-Men.
Yeah.
It benefits a narrative that's being pushed.
And when he says manipulate just to fit a narrative, we don't just mean like making straight people into gay people in like another universe or something like that. We mean that in any aspect, but right now that's just the focal one, because that's the one thing that's happening in our fandom right now. It's just everyone's just changing up. But that's with anything, whether it be a story, how a story goes, we won't accept it. There are plenty of stories. There's even one story that they manipulated, in my opinion, in a movie, Iron Man 3, that I just don't like, that he loves, but I just don't like. So it doesn't just go as far as their identity of the character. It's also manipulating the story to go a certain way that we just don't agree with. And this is one thing that I know we don't agree with, that even though he hasn't seen the show, but he understands, how big and how important it is to people. A certain character is just a certain way. And like he said, if you're trying to make a new one, boom, that's totally great. Now that you know what? That invites other people to see their representation, to be like, hey, that's a mutant, they're like me, that's pretty cool. Because that's another thing that I want to get across. We don't hate on a creator is creating something for a certain community or people or whatever. Honestly, we honestly thrive on that. Like, that was actually like one of the biggest things that we wanted to make sure were in, media or whatever. Like, we weren't like counting how many black people were on this movie, but we were just seeing, like when we were like looking at movies and stuff like that and making sure, like Black Panther, when we first watched Black Panther, we were all over it and we were so happy about it because they stuck so close to the source material when it came to Wakanda and whatever. Like, we were happy with it because it was great, because it stuck to what it originally was. They changed up some stuff because of legal reasons, like Storm not being there, but they did what they could with what they had. So, like, not hating. And we're not hating anything. But again, if you want a certain representation to go a certain way, or you want to get a certain audience viewer, because that does go into, honestly, it goes into business, so we can't shun that away. But when it comes to business and you want to get a certain community or a certain audience to come in, it's way better, way, way, way better to make a new character, because not only that, a new character, they will trend on any single social media that will be out, and whoever that audience is, let's say you have a new mutant that's part of the LGBTQ community, a new one, oh my goodness, that would be flashed out. I would see it on TikTok, Instagram. You would see it everywhere. Whether we would like it or not, we will see it. That's the thing. But if you take an old character and change him up, I guarantee you, that audience that you're trying to attract, the only reason why they're looking at it is because people like us that have a certain view on that character or grew up with are going to have a problem, and a lot of them are going to be vocal about it. And it just brings up controversy. That's the thing. So that's why I say, like you said, it's way better if you put in a new character so that they still get their representation, because that is important for people in general to get their representation. But not taking an old character and changing them into this certain different aspect, because the people that you're trying to attract, you're not going to attract them. You're only going to attract them to controversy and problems. That's the thing. So it doesn't look good for anybody.
Yeah.
So it's
it's something, like we mentioned before, it's the quality of the story. Because it's the quality of the story and the quality of the characters. Because if you make a story, another one where they changed it up and it doesn't specifically have to do with sexuality or whatever, was the Skrulls. So the Skrulls, we talked about this in a previous episode. The Skrull, you're supposed to hate the Skrulls, And your words, not mine. We're supposed to be racist to the Skrulls. Your words, not mine.
I wanted to be so racist towards the Skrulls. You don't understand. But let me. I want to go back to that real quick because I want people to really understand how much I hate the Skrulls. Growing up, watching the Fantastic Four shows and the Superhero Squad shows, my dad raised me to be racist towards Skrulls. There was even this crazy Skrull kid that took the Fantastic Four's powers and used it on them. Like, they even worked for Thanos at one point. So, Skrulls, come on. Like, I'm racist towards Skrulls. So, yeah, okay, go ahead to your point.
But it's like, that thought of like the Skrulls are like one of the biggest freaking threats to the Avengers ever.
Because to the galaxy,
because it literally created a war between every hero because they didn't know who was the hero and who was a Skrull. Like, craziest storyline ever. There's a YouTube channel called Comic Story and he reads the entire thing. Go watch it. It's awesome. Or buy the comics. Yeah. But awesome storyline. And me and Jaben were pumped for it. But when they came out with the Skrulls and made them like, oh, we're a dying civilization and we need to be saved, we're just misunderstood. It's like, no, we're supposed to hate you. Like, we know if writers want to tweak certain little aspects of stories, that's fine. That's a creator's duty. But
this is so huge because it ruins something that a lot of us fans were waiting for, which is Secret Wars. That's the thing, you know?
Took the entirety of Secret Wars and ripped it in half because it's no longer Secret Wars because there's good Skrulls. I think in the original storyline, there was maybe one good Skrull. One.
No, and that's what made it cool is that there were only a few Skrulls that were actually tight, but that's what made it so crazy is that this whole race is insane, but we only have a few allies, which made it like to like the people's advantage. But other than that, there's no good guys.
So it's like, it's not just about like, we're just bashing on people who have different sexualities. It's like, no, we are upset because when you change something, we aren't expecting movies and TV shows to be a carbon copy of the comics. But when you change the source material, it is no longer that comic. Yeah. When you change the source material of the Skrulls from being the most hated race and the most hated alien people of all time in the comics to being this dying civilization who just needs help, it's going to upset fans. When you change the entire sexuality of Wolverine, who's supposed to be like the most manly man of all time with claws,
beard, killing himself,
rip people apart. And slept with She-Hulk at one point, I think. But point being, when you have all of these factors that everyone knows about this character and that's what makes us love him, and then you're like, to fit our narrative, he's going to have to be bisexual or gay now. It's like, no. You cannot do that to a character so beloved and change him that much. Make an original character. Fine.
And that's why I'm mad about the morph thing, because then there were people that were saying, you guys are so mad, you people are so mad just because morph, a dude that shapeshifts into anyone he wants, is now perceived as they them. And I'm over here saying, okay, I don't think they understand how mutant powers work. And how a lot of mutant powers work is because usually how mutant powers work is that in order to activate your mutant power, if it is able to be controlled, should I say, it's like using your muscles. You strain yourself. So, for example, I'll use Iceman as an example. He can produce ice with his body, but there's only so far he can go and so long that his endurance can be built up to produce and shoot ice out of himself. Same thing with morph. It says it in his name, but when he morphs into another person, anyone he wants, he's forcing his muscles to stay that way on a cellular level. He's that freaking powerful. I freaking love him. I love him. him. but he forces his cells on. He forces his cells to morph into that certain character. But when he gets like hit or gets knocked out, you see him go back into his default form. That's the thing. So he can't. He can be anyone he want. Anyone he wants, but it's only for a limited amount of time because he'll always be his default person.
I have another question for you.
Yes.
Most mutants don't activate the mutant gene until they're already a little older, correct?
Yeah. Some don't develop them until they're like either before teenagers. They're preteen or a preteen teenager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So right around there. You know more about Morph than I do. I'm like 95% sure that when the character was made, he was a dude before he got his X-Men powers. Am I correct?
Correct.
So, dude's base form is a dude.
Yes.
Awesome. He gets the power to morph into anyone. Basically mm-hmm. Mystique, but not blue.
That's what's crazy is that when it comes to Mystique, there's only so much that she can do, mm-hmm. and even though she can copy the voices still, there's still a certain like gene that'll still make it seem like, you know, that's Mystique. With Morph, you don't know. That's what's scary about him. You don't know. Like he changes his cells. She mm-hmm. can't do that. She can only change her blue skin. He can change his cells.
Yeah.
That's why he has a blank look. So yeah.
So it's like before you got these powers, you were a guy. You were mm-hmm. a dude. So it's like, why? And the argument of, well, he can morph himself into whatever he wants. Why can't he be they, them? Because he was a dude beforehand. If you're going to change his identity, his gender identity or whatever, because you want it to fit your narrative, because he can transform. No, dude, he is a guy. And that may trigger some people because it's like, oh, well, they could choose who they want to be. The source material when the character was created was this. Characters, and a lot of people want to compare this to real life. Real life people, if they want to choose whatever they want to be, okay, that's fine. That's not affecting my life. I don't really care. Go for it. Cool. Whatever. I with my personal beliefs, I'm not like over here like, yes, go you. But I don't care. It's not affecting my life. That's fine. When a character is written, they don't have free will. They're characters. So yeah. They are written a certain way. When you change how they are written, you are implying an agenda into that written character now.
Yeah.
So you are changing. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. And one thing that everyone needs to understand about this show specifically, like Garrett said before, these characters are already established. But another thing people need to understand is that this is the 90s. I'm sorry, but if you're going to be accurate with how these shows were coming out and how LGBT representation has been shown in the 90s, not as much. And I'm not saying, this is not me saying that it's a good thing that it hasn't been shown that much in media back then. I'm just saying that factual wise, that wasn't shown, and it definitely was not shown in that show. So if you're going back into 1997, like you said, make it as accurate as possible, mostly for the people that you're trying to attract, which is me.
Like, it's
I'm the main person you want. And when I say me, I mean like the general audience that grew up with the TV show. You want me to watch it. So in order for me to watch your show, you need to make it as close. You need it. Actually, I need it perfect. I need it to be that show, just another season. That's all I'm expecting. And that's not too much to ask for when you grab it and say, okay, we're going to do another season of this.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I'm going to make a quick comparison, and then I don't know how much more we talk about this, but
we need to stop, but yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to make a quick comparison, but like, obviously we watch anime. I just watched the finale of Attack on Titan. Mm-hmm. So Attack on Titan, the first season, and I'm not going to get the timeline right, but the first season happened, and then it was like years, like 4 or 5 years later before the second season came out. And then a little bit of time before the third one came out. And then it was another couple of years before the fourth one came out. And then they had a year in between when the next seasons came out. So it's like there was big gaps. So it was essentially like restarting the show with seasons because it wasn't continuous. So thing is, when you watch it back to back to back to back, it is one show. Yeah. It is one show with one storyline that keeps going. And when you watch the last episode, you're like, man, that tied everything up nicely. There was like hardly any plot holes. Obviously, it's a different piece of media, so it's not exactly the same. But the same thing is implied. If you have a show, X-Men, the animated series, and it was as beloved as it is, number one, hire a director that actually loved the series and loves the X-Men. Number two, if you're going to title it X-Men 97, hence X-Men the Animated Series Continued, continue the show rather than reforming the show.
Thank you. And that's what they're doing. They're reforming the show. And that's why I can't, I'm not even sure if I want to watch it, because it's not going to be X-Men the Animated Series anymore. Mm-hmm. At that point, they're changing so much, and not just Morph. Just even the way the animation looks, and I know this that there's a controversy, but I do have to say this: that this is going to have to be T-rated this time. But Rogue's form, did you at least see how Rogue looked in the old one?
She was like that big puffy hair.
Her body though. Did you ever see that meme of Apocalypse looking at her and she's laying down on the side, and we're kind of from her backside view? That's from the show. That's not edited. That's from the show. Okay.
Okay.
I'm so weird saying this. Have that picture in your head.
Okay.
If anything, search it up. Have that mental picture in your head. Once everyone saw the trailer, as flat as this. I know it's not important. I know it's not important, but let me go in some more. Storm, a more feminine look physique, a kind of curvy. She's pretty skinny though. She's built more masculine now. You can tell that they kind of turned her into like a small football player, like broadening her shoulders and everything and changing her. Oh yeah. And then everyone is pretty flat now, if you see what I'm trying to say with like flat, and then Jean Grey's costume, you know, it would go all the way here and down, all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Now it goes from here and stops at the belt.
Okay.
So there, but you can see like they can't be the same characters just because they had whatever they were on the beginning show. And now, like you said, they're reforming it into the show that they want. And these little nuances, they make a big deal because us fans of the shows can tell the difference. You know what I mean? Of if they have this certain item on their suits or not. Or if they are usually like this in the show and they're not. Stuff like that. So it just doesn't make any sense why they would change something that was perfect on its own and that everyone didn't have one problem with. Even with it looking, it being slow anime, the one problem that everyone keeps complaining about is that Wolverine isn't cutting people. And obviously he's not cutting people because it's a cartoon, but we still love it because he's cutting up Sentinels. You know what I mean? So I don't know. You just saying they're reforming the show really just got me like, wow, they are actually not just changing just Morph. They're changing like the look of the show, and you can definitely tell. Like, if you watch like maybe 2 seconds of like the original show on YouTube and you see the trailer for the new one, you can see like, oh wow, they're changing a lot. And it sucks because the trailer is so epic. I'm giving that to Disney. The trailer looks amazing, but I pay attention too much. You know what I mean? I could tell what they changed, and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Man, here's the thing. What Disney used to be, and I know we've gone into this more than once, and I'm not going to harp on it.
Off camera, though. Yeah.
Huh?
Off camera, we talked a lot about it. Off camera. This.
And we've mentioned it once or twice on, but Disney, what it used to be was my childhood. And even Marvel and stuff like that became my childhood, even before it became into Disney's hands. So, like, when Disney acquired them, I was like, oh, that's dope. Two companies I love. From 2019 on, it has been a downhill slope into... Because when they acquired them, they started releasing great stuff. Like, they started... incredible content. And then as 2019 hit, it just kind of slid way downhill from being creative stories, entertaining stories, well acted, great animation, great visual effects, into being either a cash grab or a preachy piece of garbage that they want to throw out for inclusion rather than a good story. And it's just disappointing. It is disappointing, man. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Multi-billion dollar corporation. There's not much that can be done unless Bob Iger decides he wants to change things up.
Right.
So, anyway, I think we're about done harping on that for now.
Definitely.
But anyway, thank you guys for coming to this episode. A bit of a harder one to start back on.
I know, right?
But I feel like it needed to be said because, like we told you guys in the very intro of this channel, if you watch it on YouTube, but even just in the bio, we're going to say our opinions, not in any hate toward anyone, not in any discrimination of any kind toward anyone. Mm-hmm. But just in like a, here is my personal belief, and here is why I think what they're doing is not right. Here's what I think what they're doing is changing stuff in my life and changing stuff that I enjoy. So it's not to bring any kind of anything toward hate toward like that toward anyone. We do want to hear your guys' opinions on this kind of stuff. If you are watching on YouTube, comment sections right down below. We'd love to have a conversation about it.
And I love debating too. So even if you have an opposing view, honestly, for me, I love it. We're Garrett and I are both extremely, extremely peaceful and logical people. So if like conversating with us will be really easy. And again, we like stuff like that, and we like hearing different people's different points of view for stuff like that. And if there's something that we overlooked, let us know. Like, we aren't closed-minded in the looking for, you know, closed-minded with our minds. We like to see what's in other people so that we can draw maybe a better opinion on, you know, what we first said. So,
or fortify our own conclusion. So it can go both ways, but. Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there to let you guys know. We love you guys. We appreciate you listening. If you didn't agree with us, that's fine. We just are here to have fun and sometimes share some personal opinions and our thoughts on some stuff. If you don't agree with us, absolutely okay. But thank you guys for watching. If you did make it all the way through, we appreciate it. We love you guys. We're happy to be back. And we are not going to be leaving again anytime soon.
No, we're not.
Jabin, any other final words before we sign off?
like you said, thank you for watching this long, and thank you for the people who stayed with us. We don't know exactly who unless you know you make yourself known, but we can see basically the analytics of the places that are listening. So whoever are from those places, we see you. Thank you. And yeah, the plan is we're still gonna do this weekly. That is the plan. So when this this is posted, get ready for us next week, because we're gonna have something for you by that next week. But also, I do want to make this quick announcement just because, to get out of the way, I want to make it now. So I'm getting married. I'm getting married on April 20th, and Garrett is actually coming down to my apartment to spend a whole week with me. He is my best man. I asked him for like 2 years ago. I asked him 2 or 3 years ago. I asked him. He said yes. I wouldn't think of anyone else that I would have given it to. So he's spending a whole week down with me. So he's planning the bachelor party. He already has everything ready. He's going to be recording his time here with me too. So there's going to be a whole separate video of just our time together, just my post getting married, my last moments as a bachelor. That's basically what his job is. I know nothing about the party, but he's going to be recording little bits and pieces of it. I'm going to take him to Universal in Hollywood, because I obviously work there. I work there, so you might see a couple things about that. But yeah, for a whole week, we're going to be recording stuff so that he can edit and show his whole time here together. So stay tuned for that in April, in the third week when it'll be ready. So that was the announcement. Can't wait for it. I think that's it for me. You got anything else?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, for the vlog and everything, for anyone listening on the podcast, it will be a vlog. So you're going to have to go over to YouTube to watch it, because I don't think we can post that on a vlog. It's a video. Head over to YouTube. We'll have that. It'll take me a while to edit it, and I am not getting any kind of fancy camera. It will be all on my phone. So yeah. Don't expect an incredible quality. I mean, phones these days have good cameras, but expect a fun video vlog of chopped up moments of when I'm out there. It may be split into a few videos, who knows? But that should be fun. But I think that's about it. And I'll go ahead and sign us off. So thank you, Ever, so much for watching. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye, guys.
See ya.